What's going on, everybody, and welcome back. Welcome to episode 5 of The Wrestling Wire. I'm your host, Vinny Pascarosa. And in today's episode, we're going over Saturday night's main event. We're looking ahead to the week, and we're also going over AEW's best matches of the month. We have an action-packed show with us, and you know, if you've been here since day one, there's no shortage of action. We appreciate you guys coming back. Also, if you're new to the channel, welcome. This is the Wrestling Wire podcast. We talk all things wrestling, from WWE to AEW to TNA to the indies. Everything you need to know in wrestling gets covered during this next hour. Well, today's episode, actually, we're going to keep it quite short, especially since we had a bonus episode just yesterday. It was the countdown to the Saturday night's main event. It was our first episode with video. In today's episode, we are not going with video. The next video episode will be next Saturday for the countdown to the Royal Rumble. So before I get into it, I just wanted to explain the week's schedule. Last night, we had the countdown to the Saturday night's main event, where we kind of previewed Saturday night's main event. We also recap SmackDown. So in today's episode, we usually recap SmackDown on Sundays. But because we did that yesterday, we're not going to do it today. So if you are looking for a SmackDown recap, the episode yesterday, the first 20 minutes, I would say, recap SmackDown. We're going to do this episode today. We're going to take a look at Saturday night's main event, which happened last night. We're also going to take a look at Raw tomorrow, NXT on Tuesday, and Dynamite on Wednesday, followed by an episode that will recap those three shows on Thursday while looking ahead to SmackDown on Friday. We won't look ahead to the Royal Rumble until Saturday morning, where we have another countdown show, which will be called the Countdown to the Royal Rumble. I was very excited and happy to do it yesterday. I'm pumped to get back on it on Saturday and record another episode, a bonus episode for you guys. And then next Sunday, we'll recap the Royal Rumble. We'll dive deeper into what's to come, because that is, in my opinion, one of the most exciting PLEs of WWE schedule. I'm a big fan. Obviously, we all are of WrestleMania. That's the best card, the best show. Also, SummerSlam puts on a really good show every year. I had the honor of going to one before, and it was super fun. And I have not gone to a Royal Rumble, but that's definitely on the bucket list. I can't wait for Saturday in Indianapolis. I won't personally be there, but we'll be watching live on Peacock. So without further ado, I say that we get into it. We talk about Saturday night's main event, the elephant in the room. Starts off my broadcast. First of all, it started off in Spanish. I don't know. This probably was just me and my. I tried to watch it on NBC because last month when it was they had it in December on Long Island. I watched it on Peacock because I actually didn't know that it was gonna just be on regular TV. So I watched it on Peacock, and I wanted to try NBC, see if it was a different broadcast, especially with the ads. And I didn't get any luck. It was like a Spanish broadcast. So I just went back to old reliable Peacock to be able to watch. It was a great show. Great setup, in my opinion. The old school retro feel is so cool to me, especially with the entrance ramp. They have the steel barricades instead of the ones with the lights. They have that old look, kind of. It looks like a WWE live event that you'd see on like a Saturday night in like a high school, not a high school gym, but like a college basketball arena or something like that. But it was cool. I thought it added to the aspect of it being retro. Also, that first kind of shot we get of the first match, which was Rhea Ripley and Nia Jax, the microphone that comes down that Lillian Garcia was able to talk out of, I thought that was really, really cool too. And people showed out. People showed out for this. I was pretty excited for this, especially with it being January's only PLE. Although the Royal Rumble is less than a week away now, it was January's only premium event. So I was pretty excited. I was hoping for a little bit more. It was not the greatest show. I thought last Saturday night's main event was better, but I think it was just something to do with the timing of it all. And yeah, especially with it being close to Royal Rumble, the timing was off and the buildups to the matches were off a little bit too. So the first match of the night was Nia Jax and Rhea Ripley. They both make their entrance. Rhea Ripley, unbelievable pop. Nia Jax, you know, she gets booed out of the arena everywhere she goes now. This match was definitely predictable. The result of this match was Rhea Ripley winning. And it was definitely predictable because we got Nia Jax declaring for the Rumble twice, so you knew something was up there. But I thought the buildup wasn't bad compared to some of the other matches. But before this match even starts, Nia Jax hits Rhea Ripley with a massive headbutt. Cheap shots are before the bell. You see Lillian Garcia kind of like, oh, and she kind of scrambles out of the ring there. Rhea Ripley kind of regains herself, puts herself back on top, swings the momentum her way before we go to commercial break, which I thought was an early commercial, but it is what it is. It was a pretty physical match overall. They both worked really well together in the ring. I love that Ripley, I think it was the Ripley kind of like, she like threw herself off the apron onto Jax, who was ringside. That was a pretty good spot there. But yeah, Jax hit Ripley with an annihilator. She went for a second attempt and kind of got greedy. Ripley recovers there and yeah, hits her with the Riptide. I said that if Rhea Ripley was going to be able to pull off the Riptide on Nia Jax, she would retain. That's exactly what she did. Ripley with the 1-2-3 count, and she retains her women's championship. Also, this is awesome chance. Rang out early. I thought it was a hard-hitting, powerful match like I thought it was going to be. And yeah, I thought it was a great way to start off the show. Although it was a predictable match, I thought that it was a great show. Or a great match, not a great show, sorry. It was a great match, great way to start off the show. And yeah, and I thought the next match too, kind of just transitioning into the next match while we're at it, between Braun Breaker and Sheamus was actually a pretty good match too and worth watching for sure. My prediction here was wrong. I predicted Sheamus to win the Intercontinental Championship and for Braun Breaker to retain. But I think that, although I don't want it to happen, I think that we're going to get another match because of Jesse Ventura's commentary where, you know, the ref messed up the kind of rope break that Braun Breaker had. We'll get on into all of that. So Braun Breaker was able to retain. There was a couple of really, really cool moments in this match, especially Braun Breaker's spear. He speared Sheamus midair when Sheamus kind of tried to jump off the apron. It was a really good spot. These two absolutely brawled with each other. You can see the hatred between the two for sure. But yeah, Sheamus hit Braun Breaker with, you know, one of his high knees that he always does, gets him up top, and it was towards the end of the match, and Braun Breaker was out cold. And the ref goes for the count 1, 2, 3, and Breaker's foot is on the rope. But Sean Bennett, the referee, did count 1, 2, 3. And, you know, Jesse Ventura on commentary actually did point that out. So I think that sets up another match down the road. Maybe we get Sheamus on Monday Night Raw saying he was screwed. Maybe he's got to work his way back to being the IC, getting that IC title match. But a lot of fans are speculating that Sheamus will win the title at WrestleMania. And for me, I think this is definitely going to be a ladder match, either for the United States Championship or for the Intercontinental Championship. So I guess we're just going to have to see how it all plays out. Maybe Sheamus gets the IC title before Mania and we have a ladder match. Or maybe it's going to be LA Knight who gets that U.S. Championship, which I'm still hoping for. Yeah, we'll see what happens. So to end the match, really, Sheamus went for a brogue kick, but Braun Breaker kind of countered with a spear in midair, and yeah, that was it, kind of. That was it. Bron Breakker retained the Intercontinental Championship, which I really thought that, you know, Sheamus could have kicked out there. Like, I was like, oh my God, is he going to kick out? Like, are we going to keep going? But I quickly realized that this was a fast-paced show because of it only is 2 hours. And although I don't know if I said this on the podcast yesterday, because we didn't have one Thursday. Maybe I was planning on saying it Thursday. I'm not quite sure how I remember it. But I was saying that the three-hour shows, especially for like SmackDown, they feel like dragged out. And I think it was yesterday. I don't know if I said it because like you had three really good matches to end the show. It was Kevin Owens and Jimmy Uso. It was Damian Priest and Carmelo Hayes. And it was LA Knight and Tama Tonga to end the show, which I'm not complaining. But they had two shows and they had two matches in 1 hour. So it's great that we get those matches in the last hour. It's just, it feels super dragged out at times. I think a perfect timing is it doesn't exceed 2 hours and a half. So 10:30, the show ends. I think that you could end it before 10:30 too, but I get it with the live television. That's why I like Netflix so much, because they can go all the way to 11 o'clock. You have no clue when the show is going to be over. You have no clue when the match could end. It could keep going until, you know, the clock strikes 11. We'll get into more of that later, because the main event was rushed in my opinion. But for now, let's stick to this. Bron Breakker beat Sheamus. So the results, we have two retains and two matches already. All right. Now, this is where in my notes I was kind of sloppy, because I put down the next one was Jacob Fatu and Braun Strowman. Although I think that Cody and Kevin had their contract signing before this match. I'm not sure, because I forget, because my notes are sloppy. I put everything in like the wrong order. So bear with me. Please bear with me here. So let's go to the contract signing first. Why not? Like I said, contract signing, a promo between Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes. You know, it was not probably going to go smooth. I was right. This one was a contract signing moderated by San Antonio's own Shawn Michaels for their undisputed WWE Championship ladder match next week at the Royal Rumble. Well, I guess not next week. This week, I guess. It is this week. We're officially in the week of the Royal Rumble, which is pretty cool. I think that Shawn Michaels there made it cool because, you know, the two argue with each other. I think that Kevin Owens said something about how, you know, when it gets hard, when things get hard, Cody quits, you know, and that's exactly what he wants to do this Saturday at the Royal Rumble. When he's going to make it hard for Cody, he's going to wear him out, so he's just going to quit. And Shawn Michaels kind of is like, well, Kevin, I think you're just jealous of Cody. And that kind of made Kevin Owens a little upset. Cody Rhodes was like, enough. This is terrible. You know, Cody Rhodes goes on his little rant about, you know, coming up, being the underdog. He's just kind of boring on the microphone, which kind of limits him as a champion, in my opinion. Although I think he's a great wrestler. He's one of the best in the business for sure. I just think that his mic skills are a little bit lackluster. But yeah, so basically Shawn Michaels is like, well, I think you're just jealous. And then Kevin Owens was like, the only reason you're backing Cody up is because when it gets hard for you, Shawn, when it got hard for you, Shawn, you quit too. You quit too. So Kevin Owens also insisted that, you know, he could have taken the easy way to win the WWE Championship at Bash in Berlin, but instead he chose to show compassion and chose not to beat Rhodes when he was kind of hurt there. But Cody, you know, wasn't having it. He's like, just sign the contract, all this, Owens stalled, blah, 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 blah. It was kind of long and drawn out, but then it was kind of funny. when he kind of was going, when Kevin Owens is going at Shawn Michaels, he's like, I made the Winged Eagle belt more valuable than you ever did. It was pretty funny because, you know, he's wrong, but you know, it's Kevin. So obviously it's, it's going to be funny. You know, I told you there was going to be some sort of brawl at the end too. You know, Kevin Owens tries to go for the cheap shot on Rhodes, and then he tried to hit Shawn Michaels with a package pile driver. I was like, oh my God, are we actually getting this right now? But no, Cody Rhodes saves the day, super kicks him. We tune up the band, sweet chin music from Shawn Michaels to Kevin Owens. Got a good crowd reaction there. I thought, you know, it was a good filler segment, to be honest. It wasn't bad. It was pretty entertaining, and it did its job for sure. I wrote in the notes that maybe we get Kevin Owens on NXT this week confronting Shawn Michaels. That'd be pretty funny. Pretty cool to see too. Who knows? We'll see what happens. I think it'll be pretty good week for wrestling. Like I said, we got a jam-packed week. All right. So now we'll go on to Jacob Fatu and Braun Strowman's match, the match that I thought was going to be the best of the night, but it actually turned out to be the worst match of the night. They hyped it up to be two giants fighting into each other, two unstoppable forces going at one another. But I quickly found out that WWE's goal is to just get Jacob Fatu over, make him look unstoppable, make him look powerful, and he did that job pretty sufficiently there. He destroyed Braun Strowman, and I wish that there was more back and forth. And you know, this match was actually won by Braun Strowman by way of disqualification because Jacob Fatu went after the official, went after the referee. But if you watch this match, Jacob Fatu 1,000,000% was dominating this match. I think that it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool to see these two in a match. I'd love to see them like in a match down the road that would mean a little bit more, maybe like a no holds barred match, no disqualification match. It was just bad. Fatu kind of down Strowman inside of the ring and just started unleashing chaos on Braun Strowman. All this came out there. Security came out there. Producers came out there to try to stop him. The fans are chanting, one more time. He's hitting moonsaults on Braun Strowman left and right. And Braun Strowman, for the first time in his career, like to me, just looked completely defenseless. Like, could not do anything. The monster among men, the one big SOB. That title went to Jacob Fatu last night for sure. And then, you know, massive Jacob Fatu chants going, ringing around the ring. This kind of reminded me of the Big Show and Braun Strowman match that we got. I thought that it was going to be something like that. I think it happened a long time ago, but I remember that match like it was yesterday. Jeez. It was a pretty good match, but you know, I think this sets it up pretty nicely. Jacob Fatu is an animal. He's unstoppable. He proved that last night. WWE has a good one in him, and mission accomplished by getting him over. Although it was, you know, highly anticipated match, and it didn't live up to the expectations of what I thought it was going to be, what most fans thought it was going to be. I think that this just helped Jacob Fatu's WWE career and case in many, many ways. For sure. I was going to say something. Oh, yeah. So a little preview for Saturday night's main event. I have a chart of all the entrants. I already did all the entrants, who they're going to get eliminated by, when they're going to get eliminated, order of elimination. I had a whole thing that I did out. And I think it was before Saturday night's main event, so I'm going to go in and tweak it. But I have Jacob Fatu being like the Iron Man of the Royal Rumble match. I have him being also like maybe most of limbs. I think I had him most of limbs. Him or one of the other guys. I don't want to spoil too much, but Jacob Fatu is an unstoppable force to reckon with, and I don't think you want to get in his way. Also, going off of this, this is just something I'm thinking of right now. How awesome would it be to see Roman Reigns and Jacob Fatu in a world title match? That would be really cool, in my opinion. It'd be a really cool match. I hope that we get it. We've seen Solo Sikoa and Roman Reigns fight, but I think honestly, Jacob Fatu is better than Solo, and I just would love to see him and Roman go at it. But first, I want to get him and Braun at it again. I don't think that this is over quite yet, so we're gonna have to wait until SmackDown next week to see. But we're in for a good one. All right, the main event of Saturday night's main event. This one usually tries to go down in the history books, but in my opinion, it was one to forget for sure. You know, Jey Uso comes out from the crowd again. Gunther comes from just the normal way. It was an awesome match. These two set the stage really well together, and they both looked really awesome. The result of this match was a retain by Gunther, so he did not get any new title holders during this match. However, like I said yesterday, I thought that right up until the end, Jey Uso had a chance to win. Jey Uso, obviously, he falls short again, but he got Gunther's respect at the end of the match. Maybe he's not just a really good tag team wrestler, because really, Jey Uso did prove it. It was a great match, although the ending was quick and we could have gotten more. Jey kind of, you know, it was back and forth for sure. Gunther definitely had a lot of momentum, and it was late. This is what I was talking about. I was watching the clock, and it was almost 10 o'clock. I think it was like literally 2 minutes left in the show, and Jey Uso was sparking this comeback. And so, like, for me, I'm like, oh, my God, Jey's going to do it. Like, this is it. Like, he's going to do it. I think Michael Cole at even one point was like, oh, my God, Jey's going to do it. And he hit the super kick, a spear, a splash, and Gunther still kicked out. And so with it being like a minute left, you know that you're going to kind of get a rushed ending at this point, which it was. You could kind of see. This is like something I'm very, very picky about, because I've been watching wrestling for a while, and I can see this. Maybe not of like a new fan or someone new to watching pro wrestling could see this, but I could see dialogue happening between the ref, Gunther, and Uso, kind of maybe being like, hey, like, we got to wrap this up quick. And that's what happened. Gunther kind of counters Jey Uso's move, hits two power bombs, and it's over. And then, like, immediately after he won the match and his hand was raised, it's like, this broadcast has ended. They just shut it off, which was weird to me. I was kind of disappointed by it. I'm like, we got robbed, like, especially for Gunther, too. Like, two power bombs, like, all right, power bombs, but, like, let's see more from Gunther here. Like, that wasn't great. Like, that's not a really good champion. It was definitely rushed for sure, and that's why the flexibility of it having going to 10:30, like, we could have gotten longer matches. I think we could have got a longer Braun Strowman and Jacob Fatu match. We definitely could have gotten a little more from our first two title matches, and especially got at least another solid five, even 10 minutes, although 10 minutes is a lot, five-ish, 8 minutes kind of more of wrestling in this match. But yeah, my conclusion, Gunther retains, end of the show. My conclusion of this match was, I thought it was a pretty good show. It wasn't a bad way to spend Saturday night, but again, definitely like the last Saturday night's main event, like, just robbed. Again, wasn't the best by any means. And we definitely could have gotten more out of all of our matches, but I guess you can make a case for a lot of WWE, AEW, NXT shows that you could always get more. But yeah, not for sure lackluster show, but my key takeaways from Saturday night's main event is, the number one thing you should understand is Jacob Fatu is unstoppable. And I think that we're going to see a lot of him in the next coming months with this whole storyline. I have a huge prediction for what's going to happen with Roman Reigns and the whole bloodline thing. So stay tuned. That's all going to come out next Saturday at the countdown to the Royal Rumble. The other thing is Sheamus is definitely going to get another crack at the IC title for sure. And the last thing that I want to kind of you to understand from Saturday night's main event is that the Royal Rumble is going to be awesome. And I say that because
you got the setup for Cody Rhodes and Kevin Owens next week in that title match. I think it's going to be such a great match. You have more storylines that can be implemented inside of the Royal Rumble, implemented inside of the Women's and Men's Royal Rumble. And yeah, all in all, not a bad show. All right, so next on the agenda, we are going to look at AEW's best matches of the month. Like I said, I wanted to do this Thursday after Dynamite while it was kind of fresh in my head. But every month, this is how it's going to work. Every month, the last week of every month, so the Sunday show, which is now, and the Thursday show, we're going to look at WWE and AEW's best matches, not moments, best matches of the month. So we're going to go over WWE's best matches on Thursday's show. But right now I want to go switch over to AEW. I also want to say for the record that anytime WWE has a PLE on Saturday night, I will not be watching AEW's episode of Collision. So I can't give you a recap on Collision. Just a PSA. I can't recap Collision because, first of all, I haven't even like looked at what happened last night. I know that there was some altercations with I actually really don't even know. So I can't really speak on it and give you what I think or my thoughts or what actually happened because I don't know. Because I didn't watch it. I did not watch it. And that's going to happen next week with the Royal Rumble too. I'm not going to be able to give you guys a recap on that episode of Collision as well. Although I did see AJ and Big Justice showed up, which is funny. All right, let's move on here. The AEW best matches of the month. I have them in my notes. I'm just trying to look. Just give me one moment. In the three slot, yes, in my three slot, I am going to go with the Private Party versus the Hurt Syndicate for the AEW World Tag Team Championships. I think that this was a great match for many reasons, for many different reasons. But the main reason I'm going with this match is because we get the Hurt Syndicate as the Tag Team Champions. I think that they're a very dominant team. They were in WWE, and now they're getting the recognition that they deserve in AEW. It was awesome to see. It was a great match. These four put on a great show. All right, my number two match of the month for AEW was coming from Maximum Carnage, the Saturday night edition. It was the Texas Death Match between Adam Page and Christopher Daniels. I think these two definitely put their bodies on the line in that match. I went over that match on a previous episode, so if you're looking for that, make sure to check that one out. But yeah, like now we have this backlash of Christopher Daniels isn't going to wrestle anymore. He put him in retirement. I think Adam Page felt bad about it. But needless to say that this was a great match, and it is in the two slot for this month. Now, before we get to the one slot, an honorable mention that I want to throw in there was the Women's Casino Gauntlet match from the Wednesday edition of Maximum Carnage. I think that we got a lot of good storylines unfolded within that match. We got set up for an awesome match at Grand Slam between Toni Storm and Mariah May. I also think that we got good storylines, good competition between Willow Nightingale, Harley Cameron, Julia Hart, so forth and so on. It was definitely up there. And although not in my top three, it definitely could be in my three for sure. It definitely could be three. We're going to put an honorable mention this month. And the number one match of this month also comes from the Wednesday edition of Maximum Carnage. And this was going to be Jon Moxley and Powerhouse Hobbs, who both put it all on the line. I think that AEW found a really good one in Powerhouse Hobbs. He is awesome. He is for sure a future AEW world champion. And Jon Moxley, just being the veteran that he is, these two had great in-ring chemistry and put on an awesome show for the fans. And the thing I like about this match for sure is that there was a lot of wrestling. There was north of 10 minutes of wrestling, where in WWE, you're around that 10-12 minute range of wrestling. This had a lot more than that and elevated it to my number one match of the month, where Jon Moxley retained. We got a whole thing on Saturday night with the 12-man tag match. It was a great, great show all in all, but this match took it home and wins the honors of the best match of the month, Jon Moxley and Powerhouse Hobbs. I kind of went through that fast, so I'm just going to say the matches again. In my three slot, I have the Hurt Syndicate defeating Private Party for the AEW World Tag Team Championships. In my two slot, I have the Texas Deathmatch between Adam Page and Christopher Daniels. My honorable mention is the Women's Casino Gauntlet match, which happened on Wednesday's edition of Maximum Carnage a couple weeks ago. And the best AEW match of the month, in my opinion, remember this is all opinion-based, the best match of the month, in my opinion, was Jon Moxley retaining the AEW World Championship against Powerhouse Hobbs. I'm really excited for Grand Slam coming up February 15th. That's about 3 weeks away. And I think that one thing I do know from last night's Collision is that Timeless Tony Storm is back. And it's going to set up an awesome rematch at Grand Slam Australia. I'll be watching. Maybe we'll do a countdown show for that one too. We'll see what happens. We'll see where you guys, the results we get from the last two, we'll kind of put together and see if we'll do it for an AEW event. All right. Next up on the agenda, let's just look ahead to this week a little bit. Let's not look too far ahead, but let's definitely look ahead to Monday Night Raw. We have only one match kind of scheduled here for Monday Night Raw, which is not weird, but it's definitely maybe the main event, or maybe we'll get the main event. They've been doing a good job of like giving us the main event like during the show, like an hour into the show, like, oh, this is the main event, which is kind of cool. I like that. I thought Tama Tonga and LA Knight was going to be the main event of SmackDown, but we got an awesome one in Jimmy Uso and Kevin Owens, and also another main event worthy match in Carmelo Hayes and Damian Priest. So for this match that's scheduled here on Raw, the War Raiders are defending the World Tag Team Championships against the Judgment Day, but Finn Balor is not in action after what Damian Priest did to him and the kind of drama that we've been having going on. Dominic Mysterio steps into Finn's place. It'll be Dominic and JD taking on the War Raiders for the World Tag Team Championships. My prediction for this match is that the War Raiders will retain. I also think that we're going to get some more drama, maybe a miscommunication between Dom Mysterio and JD McDonagh as the Judgment Day, in my opinion, looks to depart and split ways pretty soon. Two segments that are advertised for Raw tomorrow night, and that is Cody Rhodes will be cutting a promo in some sorts ahead of the Royal Rumble match. This is going to definitely be geared towards Kevin Owens, and I'm excited to see what he has to say or what kind of brawl we're going to get. He won't have his championship. That's something to note. Shawn Michaels took the Winged Eagle belt and the Undisputed Championship, so Cody Rhodes will not have his championship tomorrow. So it'll be interesting to see what he has to say. And also, Logan Paul, he returns to Monday Night Raw tomorrow night, and he's making his Raw debut. So hopefully we get him in a match. His last match was at SummerSlam, although I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't throw him in a match right away. I'd love to see him in a match in some action, although I do think he'll declare for the Royal Rumble tomorrow night. Other things to note, other superstars that are advertised for this show are Seth Rollins, Gunther, Jey Uso, Sami Zayn, Sheamus, Drew McIntyre. And the one that is kind of confusing to me is Damian Priest is advertised for the show. And I think it just might be a dark match or something. that he'll be in. We'll see what happens. Maybe we get dark match for tomorrow too. Could be an NXT superstar since NXT is in Atlanta this week. So a lot to look forward to on Raw. We'll see what they do. We'll definitely get some more just by the superstars advertised. We're definitely going to get some more Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, Sami Zayn drama. Doesn't look like CM Punk is advertised for the show, although, you know, he's probably bound to show up at some point. All right. Let's just keep working down the ladder. Not going to be a super long show today. Like I said, I said hour, but it's probably going to be just like a 40, 45 minute show. Let's look at the WWE NXT card for this week. Shows that are segments and matches that are advertised for this show, especially since it being away from the Performance Center, you know they're going to put on a good show. The WWE Women's Tag Team Championships are on the line. Bianca Belair and Naomi face Jakara Jackson and Lash Legend, the Meta Girls. Like I said, I think that it wouldn't be a bad idea to get the Meta Girls the title, especially, you know, with all the drama leading up between Belair and Naomi. But I don't think we're going to get that drama until the Royal Rumble or after. So my prediction is Bianca and Naomi will retain. Also, we get Trick Williams and Wesley, which was announced last week. We'll see what happens with that match. Not quite sure, but it's hard to bet against Trick Williams. So I'll go with Trick Williams there too. The NXT Women's North American Championship is on the line between Fallon Henley and Shotzi. You know, Stephanie Vaquer is not very happy about this. So I guess there's a lot of ways that Shawn Michaels could go here with this match. But I don't see Fallon Henley losing the title. I could definitely see a Stephanie Vaquer versus Fallon Henley match happening at Vengeance Day next month. Also, Grayson Waller Effect will be on NXT, and that will be featuring Obafemi, the NXT champion, who also is unstoppable, hence the title name was for Jacob Fatu, but I guess we could say Obafemi is unstoppable too. So yeah, we'll look to see who comes out, who Obafemi's next challenger could possibly be. Could it be Tony D'Angelo, who expressed his desire of being Tony Two Belts a couple weeks ago on NXT? And the last match that we're going to get of the night is Bayley and Julia teaming up against Roxanne Perez and Cora Jade. I love Cora Jade's character going back and forth between TNA. She kind of showed up last week on Thursday night at TNA. So definitely look for maybe Masha Slamovich to show up, spoil this match for Roxanne and Cora Jade. I definitely think the Bayley teaming with Julia is going to be really cool to see. This kind of furthers Bayley and Roxanne's storyline a little bit. Yeah, we'll all go down Tuesday on NXT. Also, not a confirmed match, but I noted that Cedric Alexander is back in action, and it was kind of hinted that he would try to get vengeance for Javon Evans and face Ethan Page. That match was not confirmed, but we'll see if that happens. It'll be a pretty good match if it does happen. So yeah, that's that for NXT. I think that this is going to be a really good show. Again, just with it being away from the Performance Center after kind of a lackluster show last week. Although there was three title defenses, it was kind of just meh. It's going to go head-to-head with AEW Dynamite, who doesn't have a ton of matches scheduled for this week, but let's just go over a couple here, the couple that are announced. What was announced is the Last Outlaw, Jeff Jarrett, will face the Death Riders, Claudio Castagnoli, in a singles match. And the implication is if Jeff Jarrett does win, he will receive an AEW World Championship match. With all the drama with MJF, Jeff Jarrett, Moxley, I'm not really sure how this match will go. I hope that Jeff Jarrett gets at least a shot at the title, but I could definitely see MJF getting involved and spoiling that and maybe leading towards a Jeff Jarrett and MJF match. Something to note was MJF kind of looks out of it a little bit. Doesn't look like he's loving it as much. So we'll see what happens. And also, Will Ospreay will battle the Machine Brian Cage in a singles match. That's all happening this Wednesday at AEW Dynamite. Not sure what else. We're probably going to get more about more from Shelton Benjamin and Bobby Lashley. And yeah, hopefully we just get a little bit, go head to head with NXT. Should be a fun week in wrestling, like I said. All right. That's kind of all I have for the show. I didn't really have much besides going over Saturday night's main event. I kind of rushed the AEW's best matches of the month. So I think for Thursday, what I'll do is maybe go more in depth, or maybe it's only fair if I just give it to you. There was a lot to pick from for sure. I think WWE obviously has more to pick from. But no, I thought the Moxley and Powerhouse Hobbs match was really good. And same with the Texas Death match. It was surprising to me. It was a pretty good match. And yeah, I think all four of those were great matches. And they can all be interchangeable for sure. All right. That's going to do it for today. Like I said, not much interesting. Like, we didn't have SmackDown to recap because we did it yesterday. But definitely make sure, if you haven't already and you want to recap SmackDown, go back and watch that episode. You don't have to re-watch the preview for Saturday night's main event if you already watched it. It was kind of more for just the people that were looking for something to do, like me. I'm pretty bored looking for at least something to do. It was pretty fun. So more with the schedule. We'll see you guys on Thursday. We'll go over Raw, NXT, and Dynamite. We'll look ahead to SmackDown, and then we'll get another episode Saturday, back-to-back Saturday, Sunday again. Lot to look forward to. We're almost there. We're almost on the road to WrestleMania, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing what plays out, what happens, and I'm looking forward to Kevin Owens becoming champion in less than a week, hopefully. But yeah, thanks guys for tuning in, listening. If it was background noise, if you actually watched it on YouTube, we appreciate your support. Make sure to follow us on Twitter. Our username is wrestling_wire. That will give you all updates for the podcast and everything you need to know for upcoming events for this podcast, like scheduling. But yeah, that's it for me, guys. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you guys on Thursday. We hope you enjoyed the show. We hope you enjoy wrestling in the weeks to come. And, oh yeah, by the way, what a time it is to be a wrestling fan. Yeah, that's it, boys and girls. We'll see you on Thursday. Have a great week. Thanks for tuning in. Have a good day, everyone. Bye-bye.